I would like to address two different questions that have come up over the past few days. One of them is not really a question, it's more of a conglomerate of several different questions. And that is that very often now we get a call from a Rav or an individual who used a product in their Pesach recipe, and after having cooked everything, they realize that this product does not have hashkacha, ranging from apple sauce to fruit juice to cheese to salt, spices, oils, and the like that has come up over the past few days. And the question is, what do I do now? Very often the food is long gone, long in the garbage. And the question is, do I have to recasher my kitchen? Do I have to throw out everything else that was made in my kitchen? So I would like to point out that depending on the item that was used, it can be a question of chametz, it could be a question of kidneys, and it can be a question of a chumra de pischa of Pesach, that we don't recommend this item without hashkacha for Pesach. But just working backwards, certain things that are only a chumra, if a person did use it, but b'diavad, typically it would not be a problem. An example would be an oil. Let's say you have a seed oil, which let's assume is not a kidneyous oil. Most seed oils are considered kidneyous. But let's say you had an oil that wasn't a kidneyous question. So why should a person not use that lechatchila? Because maybe it was deodorized on the same equipment as kidneyous. Now kidneyous would be bottle into this product. There is a slight chance that maybe this same company used the same equipment for wheat germ oil. Highly unlikely, and highly unlikely that it would actually be chametz that would transfer into your oil. So a person can theoretically say, from a halacha standpoint, that this oil should be mutter. However, the kashrut agencies and rabbanim take the position, and I agree, that since we don't know, and we have items that are confirmed to be kosher l'Pesach, why should we take a risk? If we lived in a far-flung country, we didn't have access to kosher l'Pesach items, items that were certified kosher l'Pesach, then indeed we would look at a Shulchan Aruch and figure out which items do we have bittul, raiv on, and recommend as follows. However, when a person did use that, b'diavad, in these situations, it would be fine. A person should ask someone who either knows halacha and or kashrus, hopefully both, and they can help you navigate that. When it comes to kidneyus, if kidneyus was used in an item, so we paskin that kidneyus is batul b'raiv. So as long as most of the mixture is not kidneyus and it's an actual mixture. Let's say you sprinkle kidneyus on top of a food item, so it's not a mixture, you cannot eat that kidneyus. But let's say you have confirmed that there is no chametz issue, and B, it's in a taruvus, it's in a mixture, and C, most of the mixture is not kidneyous, so you used, let's say, canola oil to make a kugel, and let's assume the oil is mixed in with eggs and other things, you're not eating oil, depends on the kugel, but let's say you're not eating oil, you're eating kugel, so halacha is the canola oil made kugel. Assuming canola oil is indeed an issue of kidneys, a person would still be allowed to eat that because the oil, hopefully, is batul b'raiv. So that's going back to issue number two. The first issue, the biggest issue, would be, let's say, if there was chametz in a mixture. So depending on how you used it, let's say a person used soy sauce, there is some chametz in the soy sauce, then a rav would have to figure out how much soy sauce was in this overall gravy, and do I have bittul of chametz? Keep in mind that chametz is batul before Pesach. With shishim, as long as you have 60 times the chametz, not 60 times the soy sauce, 60 times the chametz component in the soy sauce. This is all before Pesach. On Pesach itself, a person took soy sauce and added, and you know, the wheat, soy sauce that contains wheat, then for Ashkenazim, it's over. It's we hold that there's nothing to do with it. Chametz is asr d'mashiv, and the svar d'machmar, this for the most part. So in that case, you're up to creek. But most of the time, when a person did use an item that was not kosher l'Pesach, it falls into one of these three categories. I would hope people are not taking flour or oatmeal and putting that into their food. It's usually a case where there might be a cheshash chametz, a small amount of chametz, maybe only a question of kidneyus, or perhaps only a chumra b'alma, and therefore it is important to ask the question, and don't assume your entire house is now treif and all is lost. So pointing that out, it helps people with their mental health, and people should get used to asking shilas in general, and you'll see that very often HaKadosh Baruch has a sense of humor that the things end up being mutter, even though you thought that what happened in the kitchen was a problem. That is issue number one that I wanted to discuss. Topic number two is something we mentioned earlier, and that is there are those that do not want to rely on the way we do mechiras chametz when it comes to chametz gomer, when it comes to things that are actual chametz, where there's a question that if I do own this on Pesach, there's a question maybe I would be involved in an Isser D'Oraisa of owning chametz on Pesach, even though we did bittul. But there is a rationalization to say, why should I rely on the mechiras chametz? I would prefer to simply get rid of all of my chametz. Now, you should know two things. Number one, if a person wants to rely on the mechira, this is the minhag in Klal Yisrael for hundreds of years, one should not, there's no issue. A person is allowed to rely on it. I will also point out that after Pesach, if someone did rely on it, to go now eat by their house, that's not a question. There's no chumrah. That person did what they were supposed to do. They sold their chametz to the Rav. That's what the rabbi told them to do. So, as Rabbi Reisman quoted from Rav Palm Zitzel, there's no issue, there's no knas to Rabbanon, meaning there's an issur of eating chametz sha'avar lava pesach. I mean, let's say a Yid owned chametz, a Yid, let's say Buffalo Trace, they're a Jewish-owned company, and they owned chametz on Pesach and did not sell the chametz. There's a knas on that chametz that one is not allowed to partake in that chametz. But let's say the person asks his Rav, what do I do? The Rav said, do a mechira, fill out the paper, sign your name on the bottom, send the $100, and now you have, I'm not making fun of that, he should give money to the Rav, and that's a minhag that's brought in halacha. There are halacha considerations based on Yad Payel, but the point is, you did what you were supposed to do, I followed instructions, there is no knas on that, so a person should not be machmer after Pesach to not purchase from Yidin that listened to their rabbi and did a mechira. That should not be, that's not a valid chumrah, and l'chayre that would be amaratzos. So, let's say a person is not wishing to sell his chametz. Now, by the way, my other point was that a person should still go through with the mechira. First of all, the rabbanim rely on it for part of their parnasa. Additionally, just in case you forgot something, you didn't check your car, you didn't check your office, or the like, you should make sure that you did a mechira, so just in case something happened, you are covered. It's a good insurance policy. So the question is asked, is there an issue of bat hashchis that I dump all my oatmeal and cereal? Is there an issue of bat hashchis? Maybe I should be machmir and on bat hashchis, I do mechira. So that way I don't have to go waste boxes of pasta and boxes of Cheerios. So the truth is, most people that do this on a consistent annual basis, they slow down on the chametz purchases a few weeks before Pesach, and hopefully they knock it down to, I would say, less than $100, $200 worth of items in their house before Pesach rolls in. So people are accustomed to doing that. But let's say push came to shove, you still have extra things. So in most communities, there are people, if you're not aware of this, speak to your local askunim. There are people that will take closed items, things that are sealed, let's say cake mixes or boxes of pasta, and they themselves will handle it, and they will do a mechira before Pesach, and they are simply saying, I'll take care of it for you. And halachically, I would recommend that a person should make a reasonable effort to find people that will take closed boxes, or even if they take open boxes, that's none of my business, but people that will take it and make a reasonable effort to do that. However, once a person is not able to do that, there's no one taking the boxes, or it's too difficult to get out and deliver it, then we fall back onto the strict halacha, which is that bat hashchis tegufei adif, a person's own bat hashchis comes first. We find this concept, it's just an important concept that you say that I saw once in the writings of Rav Kook, Zetzal, regarding the concept of being a vegetarianism. The concept is that although, let's say there's a halacha of tzar b'lechayim. So tzar b'lechayim is machlokes if it's deraisa derabanan, but the point is, there's a ratzon atayr that a person should care for the animals. Why? The chinuch says to care for yourself, really, and it teaches you how to have rachmanus rachma v'komasav. All poskim agree, whenever it comes to a choice of tzar degufe or tzar b'lechayim, a person comes first. Because, as Rav Kook writes, we should, and that's what he says, really, there's a mitzvah, there's not a mitzvah, but there's an Indian of actually eating meat after the mabul, that man should remember that man is not an animal. And therefore we eat animals to remind ourselves that we are not animals. So a person should remind themselves that my chumrah, the pischa, I don't want to be over on chametz. That's more important than the batashkas of this these wafers, the batashkas of the pasta. So in halacha, there is no issue of batashkas, although one can argue that there's an obligation to make a reasonable effort to not have to destroy the food by handing it to someone who they will keep it after Pesach. They could use the extra food in their home or an organization that will take it. A person should make a reasonable effort, but once that effort is already done and is simply not available, or you have open items and they don't want to accept open items, there would be no issue of dumping it or throwing it in the garbage, and there would not be a concern of batashchas.